like to call the opening of the meeting to order, the first order of business, letter of notification. Gentlemen, so far proof of publication have been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board for the state of Louisiana, from the Advocate, official journal for the state of Louisiana, and from the respective parish journals, as evidence that tract numbers 43973 through 44011 have been advertised in accordance with and under provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30, the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. Letters of protest. We received a letter of protest from Martin O. Miller II, dated June 16, 2014, on tract number 44008. And we received a letter of Salt Bones Partnership, dated June 27, 2014, on tract numbers 43991 and 43992. The staff has reviewed these letters of protest, and there are claimable water bottoms within the area nominated. There will be no tracts recommended to be withdrawn from today's sale, and we will proceed with the opening of the bids.
Good morning. We did not receive any bids on tracts 43973, 7475, or 76. We did receive one bid on tract 43977, advertised as 1,141.53 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 899.63 acres. The bidder is K Exploration Company. The bid is for a 5-year primary term with a cash payment of $134,944.50. $134,944.50, or a per acre value of $150. Annual rentals are $67,472.25. $67,472.25. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on tracts 43978 or 43979. We did receive two bids on tract 43980, advertised as 2,490.51 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 425.38 acres. The bidder is K Exploration Company. The bid is for a 5-year primary term with a cash payment of $106,345. $106,345, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $53,172.50. $53,172.50. Royalties are 22%. The second bid on tracts 43980 is also for a portion containing 2,065.12 acres. 2,065.12 acres. The bidder is K Exploration Company. The bid is for a 5-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,708. $309,768, or a per acre value of $150. Annual rentals are $154,884. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43981, 982, or 983. We did receive one bid on track 43984, advertised as 1,766.93 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 63.48 acres. 63.48 acres. The bidder is Allen and Kermsey Limited. Allen and Kermsey Limited. The bid is for a 5-year primary term with a cash payment of $15,870. $15,870, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $7,935. $7,935. Royalties are 22%. We received one bid on track 43985, advertised as 1,637.14 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 379.52 acres. 379.52 acres. The bidder is Allen and Kermsey Limited. Allen and Kermsey Limited. The bid is for a 5-year primary term with a cash payment of $94,880. $94,880, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $47,440. $47,440. Royalties are 22%. We did not receive any bids on track 43986 or 987. We did receive one bid on track 43988, advertised as 233 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 61 acres. 61 acres. The bidder is Justice Oil Company, Inc. Justice Oil Company, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $9,150. $9,150, or a per acre value of $150. Annual rentals are $4,575. $4,575. Royalties are 18.75%. We did not receive any bids on track 43989. We did receive one bid on track 43990. Advertised as 7.15 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is West Wind Exploration LLC. West Wind Exploration LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $3,575. $3,575, or a per acre value of $500. rentals are $1,787.50. $1,787.50. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 43991. Advertises 308 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 181.74 acres. The bidder is Oryx Exploration Inc. Oryx Exploration Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $48,161.10. $48,161.10. Or a per acre value of $265. Annual rentals are $24,080.55. $24,080.55. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 43992. Advertises 301 acres. The bid is for the entire track. And the bidder is Oryx Exploration Inc. Oryx Exploration Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $79,765. $79,765. Or a per acre value of $265. Annual rentals are $39,882.50. $39,882.50. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on track 43993, 994, or 995. We did receive one bid on track 43996, advertised as 1,993.1 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 333.64 acres. The bidder is K Exploration Company. K Exploration Company. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $50,046. $50,046, or a per acre value of $150. Annual rentals are $25,023. $25,023. Royalties are 22%. We received one bid on track 43997. Advertises 1,408.19 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 675.42 acres. 675.42 acres. The bidder is Harold J. Anderson, Inc. Harold J. Anderson, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $138,461.10. $138,461.10. Or a per acre value of $205. Annual rentals are $69,230.55. $69,230.55. royalties are 23%. We did not receive any bids on track 43998. We did receive one bid on track 43999. Advertised as 120.05 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Crosskeys Energy, LLC. Crosskeys Energy, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $13,085.45. $13,085.45, or a per acre value of $109. Annual rentals are $6,542.73. $6,542.73. Royalties are 20%. As additional consideration, the Caddo Levy District requests that the lease specifically contain a provision restricting the depth limitation of the lease to 1,250 feet subsurface. We did not receive any bids on track 44000, 01, 02, 03, 04, or 05. We did receive a bid on track 44006, advertised as 2,497.75 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 979.01 acres. 979.01 acres. The bidder is Patrick L. Donahue, Petroleum Properties, Inc. Patrick L. Donahue, Petroleum Properties, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $166,431.70. $166,431.70, or a per acre value of $170. Annual rentals are $83,215.85. $83,215.85. Royalties are 16.667%. We received one bid on track 44007, advertised as 2,310 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 206.82 acres. 206.82 acres. The bidder is Patrick L. Donahue, Petroleum Properties, Inc. Patrick L. Donahue, Petroleum Properties, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $35,159.40. $35,159.40. Or a per acre value of $170. Annual rentals are $17,579.70. $17,579.70. Royalties are 16.667%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 44008 or 44009. We did receive one bid on track 44010, advertised as 1,492.45 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 862.45 8.44 acres. 862.44 acres. The bidder is Harold J. Anderson, Inc. Harold J. Anderson, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year final term with a cash payment of $307,028.64. $307,028.64, or a per-acre value of $356. Annual rentals are $153,514.32. $153,514.32. Royalties are 25%. We did not receive any bids on track 44011, and that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's list sale.
We will adjourn the opening of the bids meeting. Committee meetings will begin around 9:30. Thank you.
Good morning. We have a quorum of board members. We'll get started. We're going to have meetings in a little bit different order this morning. First, we'll have the legal and title committee meeting, and second, we'll have the audit committee meeting. Both of our representatives from the Attorney General's office have to leave early this morning, so we need to take care of those two committees first.
Good morning, friends. Call to order the legal and title controversy committee and designate Mr. Heck.
Good morning. How are you doing,
sir?
Do you have a quorum? How many of you?
I'd ask that we
roll call, please.
Mr. Segura, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Burnett, Ms. Hodges, Mr. Cordero, Mr. Lambert, Mr. Martin, Mr. Sanders,
present.
Mr. Smith, Mr. Cohen, Mr. Hike. Mr. Chairman, we have 6 members present and a quorum.
Thank you very much. Good morning again, Mr. Hank.
Good morning, sir. The first item, I'd like to go ahead and add an item to the agenda. And this is for authority to continue negotiations with Pardee Minerals and Faulkner for on a title disputed acreage in Bayou Nespaque in Evangeline Parish involving acreage from State Lease 18803.
Do you need a motion for that, sir? Yeah, I have a motion. Thank you. May I have a second? Thank you, Mr. Smith. Any objection? Any public comment? Hear none. Motion carries.
The next item is an executive session.
Yes, ma'am. Excuse me just a moment. I'm speaking directly into it, and it is on. Are you having difficulty?
Excuse me.
Gentlemen, I'm going to help you. Is that good?
Oh.
Thank you very much. Apologize. Thank you, Mr. Tech.
Okay. The next item is in executive session, involves litigation.
Yes, sir. We'll be at recess until further convening. Yes, Mr. Lambert?
Are there any other items that can be handled out here before we go into executive session?
We have about 3 or 4.
I would suggest, Mr. Chairman, that we might want to take care of all of that, because once we go into executive session, we lose our momentum.
I certainly have no objection.
Put that in the form of a motion. I think
make that motion,
Mr. Lamp. Second it. I think that should be done in all instances. I agree.
Well, the only reason we hit it first was because the attorney had to leave for something, but he says it's okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, then the next item would be the authority for approval of 3 commutatization agreements that have been advertised. It involves Hillcore Energy 1, LP, and a commutatization agreement involves both state and federal acreage. And these are item number 14-24, 14-25, and 14-26. To be approved, and we're asking for final approval of those.
Chair, entertain a motion.
So
thank you, Mr.
Second.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any objection? Public comment? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries.
Okay, the next item is a request by Hillcourt Energy Company for the waiver of all or a portion of liquidated damage penalty or assessment in the amount of $31,200 for a late release of State Lease 19978. This is the ninth infraction, and so the staff cannot make a recommendation or does not make a recommendation in this case. But the board may follow some criteria that we have for a late release and can lower it by the amount in the amount of $12,845.64 by that amount to $18,354.56 because the amount of acreage released late was not the entirety of the lease. And so by reducing it by the amount of acreage by that percentage, they could reduce it to the $18,000 rather than the full $31,000.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
I got a question.
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Heck, in the comment it says that I think, or rather, maybe it's the letter of request. It says that the office should consider the effect of 43.085 acres to be minimal in scope, but there's no explanation as to what that means. Why is it minimal in scope? How much acreage is involved?
The amount of acreage, the total lease was about 45-point-something acres, and what they released late was 43-point-something acres. So there was... It was a majority of the lease itself, but the total acreage was only, of the entire lease, was 45-point-something acres. So that's what they're asking, that because it's such a small amount of acreage, they're asking that that be taken into consideration for the amount of the late release.
If the entire lease was 45 acres and the affected lease is 43 acres...
The amount that was released late was 43.
I think I can read into the intent of the letter that it was...
That makes sense to me, unless I'm missing something.
They're looking for relief that we did not keep 1,000 or 1,500 acres out of commerce. It was minimum, only 43-point-something acres, and that's the intent I get out of the letter.
My thought is that if it's the ninth time they've been at fault, I mean, I wouldn't... Cut them any slack. Once or twice, maybe, but my goodness gracious, seems like they've taken advantage of the position.
We stand as our recommendation.
Did I understand you correctly to say that you approached them 10 times or 12 times and they never.
This is their ninth infraction, so we've had eight infractions before this.
Have they paid?
On most of them they have, yes. They've paid.
How much have they paid? I mean, what kind of infractions are you talking about? I don't mind.
They had nine infractions on 2001. There was late assessment penalty of $1,000.
Excuse me, Mr. Fontenot, that chart you're referring to is in the board members' books. Is that correct?
It is.
So if you want to turn to the chart and look at it as Mr. Fontenot referenced.
I have that, but I was enjoying your presentation. It's all right.
To answer your question, the small amounts that pay just about all of those, the 1,000, the 800, the 600.
What is it total? How much do they, were those seven infractions, how much did they pay?
They
just give me a range, maybe.
About $12,000 they paid, and they were assessed probably $90,000.
So they have a history of doing this, appears.
Well, the chart shows that they've been late on nine instances. Yes, sir.
They have such a large amount of leases. That's why. I mean, this looks like a lot, and it is a lot of infractions, but they are, I think, the largest leaseholder in Louisiana.
So we've assessed a total of $12,000, and we've got nine.
No, sir. The answer was they paid about $12,000.
How much
assessed
were they?
About $90,000.
$90,000?
Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Did you say?
For example, on 2008, they were billed $71,900, of which they paid $3,000. We waived $68,900 pursuant to the chart here. So,
is there someone here from the company that could come up and answer some questions? Is anyone here representing that company?
Bill Corr.
That's ridiculous.
No. Mr. Heck,
Lambert,
please clarify. The staff recommendation is no waiver. Is that correct?
The staff recommendation is no waiver. Correct.
Is to do what?
No waiver.
Do not waive.
Do not waive.
Make them pay the fine.
Right.
Sir, the 31.
Okay.
The.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you for the motion, Mr. Lambert.
Second it.
Do I hear a second?
Second it.
Thank you. Any discussion by the board on this motion? Any public discussion or comment on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Hear none. The motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Heck.
Okay. Next item is a request by GCER Onshore for authority to escrow funds in title disputed acreage involving State Lease 21092. The staff does recommend that they be given the authority for 90 days or be given 90 days to escrow the funds in an account that is with all the requirements that we have for escrow accounts until either the title dispute or a suit is filed.
What is our policy on escrow accounts?
The escrow account has to be in a bank that has a presence in the state of Louisiana. It has to be, I don't know what.
I believe it's in the book.
What's the purpose of it? How does it help the mineral board do its job?
It gives us a chance to look at what the title dispute is, how valid we think the title dispute is, and then if the title dispute cannot be settled prior to that, then they go ahead and deposit it in the registry of the court, take it out of the escrow account and put it in the registry of the court, and then that's litigated.
It secures the funds so we don't lose it.
I can probably speak to that. So I'm Ryan Seidem at the Attorney General's office.
Thank you, Ryan. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Basically, what it does is it gives us notice of the dispute, but a cooling off period to see if we can avoid litigation by way of settlement or some other mechanism. And that settlement may be a complete windfall in our favor, or a complete windfall in the other party's favor, or some negotiated settlement before we begin to incur attorney's fees, costs, and things like that of a concursus suit. Just gives us time to evaluate things.
Mr. Chairman, doesn't it also give us the protection of the state, the bank that where it's placed, it has to have sufficient funds, securing the amount on deposit, which is further security for the state of Louisiana?
I believe that's correct. Yeah.
Thank you.
And
so
also, Mr. Chairman, unless I'm wrong, Mr. Ryan, mm-hmm. the interest in that account is awarded to the state?
The interest accrues to the what's in the account. And then depending on how the dispute is ultimately resolved, the interest then is...
But if we put it in the register of the court, that interest would be retained probably by the clerk of court.
No, in that case, it's the same thing. There are certainly costs that the clerk pulls out of it. But in that case, even still, the interest does escheat to the various individuals.
But there's merit to having that escrow account before you put it in the registry. Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
I have no further questions.
Okay, so we'd be asking the board to give the company GCER the authority to escrow the funds for a period of 90 days and then to decide whether or not suit be filed.
Chair will entertain a motion. Thank you. I have a second on the end. Thank you. Any discussion by the board on the motion? Any public comment or discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, the next item I think we ought to, that's the one we ought to take in executive session. That's the one with Ryan before we have the report. Yeah. Okay. I move we go into executive session.
Any objection?
I don't move it. I request
Mr. Chairman,
it.
Do we have only one item left that
right.
would require executive session or more than one?
We got the one item in executive session. Then we have a report on that meeting we had with industry on the new lease form.
That's executive session?
No, that's okay. Not executive. That has a this.
I move we go into executive session.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lambert. We're recognizing Mr. Seidelman needs to leave as soon as possible. Thank you for the motion. Bill, you're a second. I have a second on the left over here. Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Good morning, sir. Mr. Heck, are you ready to proceed? We need a motion.
Are you ready to proceed?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a motion. Come out of executive session. Thank you for the motion.
Second.
Thank you for the second. Any objection? Hearing none. Proceed, please.
Okay. We have right now from the Attorney General's requesting authority to negotiate a settlement.
I'll make a motion to that effect.
Thank you very much, Mr. Arnold. Thank you very much for the second. Any public comment on this motion? Any board comment on this motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Hicks.
Okay, next I'd like to offer to go into, ask the board to go into recess because we have some parties here for one of the other committees that needs to do it. So if we could go into recess.
Chair, I'll entertain a motion.
Move. Second.
Second. Any objection? Public comment? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you. Morning, Ms. Rachel.
Good morning.
The one I can call auto review. Order any takeoff. Roll call. Mr. Lambert. Mr. Smith. Mrs. Segura.
Here.
Mrs. Sanders.
Present.
Mr. Morton.
Here.
Mr. Bruyier.
Here.
Mr. Hank.
Here.
And Ms. Hodges. Thank you. We have a quorum. Good morning, Rachel. How are you
doing? Good morning.
Adam one.
Item number one on the audit agenda is an update on Poydras Energy Partners, LLC, outstanding oil royalties for the months of January and February 2014. OMR has been working and communicating with Poydras since November 2013 regarding their royalty reporting and payments that have been outstanding. Total payments received since then are $738,704.90. Effective March 2014, Poydras is no longer a payer and properties previously paid on have been assumed by a different payer who is paying timely and properly reporting. At the June 11, 2014 State Mineral and Energy Board meeting, staff informed the board that Poydras oil royalty payments outstanding for January and February 2014 totaling $110,858.26 would be paid no later than June 23, 2014, based on conversations between staff and Poydras' attorney. To date, staff has not received payment. In addition to royalty outstanding, numerous interest and penalty billings have been issued as a result of late payments and reporting errors. Billings issued total $97,680.47. The total outstanding for unpaid royalty and interest and penalty billings is $208,538.73. On July 8, 2014, the Attorney General's Office sent a letter extending formal demand to cover all royalty and billings referenced. There is no board action required for this item.
Thank you.
Item two.
Item number two is a request to place Poydras Energy Partners, LLC, on demand for outstanding audit issues. This was the first audit of Poydras. The audit covered August 2010 through June 2013. Poydras Energy Partners, LLC, was billed $116,827.10 on February 7, 2014, March 17, 2014, followed by the pre-demand on April 16, 2014, which included a certified receipt. Although there have been several attempts by staff to resolve the outstanding audit issues, it's been difficult to get cooperation from the company staff. The Attorney General's Office is in agreement with this request.
Any comments or questions?
Yeah, so it's to place Poydras and other current lessees on demand?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, my question is, who are the other current lessees?
There are several. I think I have it with me, but if not, I can certainly get it for you.
I don't quite understand the process or procedure of that. Can somebody explain it to me? I mean, how many times are they allowed to miss the audit issues and not respond to the audit issues? I guess I'm asking. When does that come to the attention of the staff?
We send out an audit billing after the audit is concluded. They have 30 days to respond to that billing. If they do not respond to that billing, we send a second billing. They have 30 days to respond to the second billing. If they don't respond to the second billing, we place them on demand. We send them a pre-demand, and we say, you are going to be placed on demand at X board meeting, and that's what happens in this case. And I apologize, I don't have the leaseholders in front of me, but I'd be happy to send them to you.
Are there many?
I want to say it was about five or six, maybe.
So once you place them on demand, then what happens?
The Attorney General's Office will draft a letter, and sometimes it gets their attention. The majority of the time, I'd say about 90% of the time, it gets their attention and gets them to the table. Personally, I think in this case, we've seen the same item. Item number one with the royalty issues with Poydras, I think in this case, they're just cash poor. If you want my frank, honest opinion, they don't have any money. And I think that's part of the reason that they're ignoring us for the audit.
So what happens at that point? They stop paying us.
At that point, I think the only recourse would be to file suit.
And we've negotiated with people before, made payment plans and worked out terms for them.
And I suspect that will be the case here. They may come to file suit
to recover those funds, number one, and or, I guess, number two, to cancel the leases?
Yes, sir.
So from point A to point Z, how long does it take to go through that process? I mean, basically what I think I've just heard is that the company has now gotten about a 180-day reprieve of some nature before suit is filed, I guess.
To answer your question, there, this is Jackson Logan with the Attorney General's Office for the record. You're aware that there's been issues with them making payments of their royalty. That was item number one that Ms. Rachel discussed. This is having to do with their audit. It's kind of two separate issues.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's the same company. What I can say about how long it takes to settle these audit controversies is it can take a while. If they come to the table and and kind of discuss, you know, the audit exceptions and make payments. Then, you know, there's a negotiation there. If they don't, then we'll just file suit. Oftentimes, you know, the discussions about the audit exceptions can take a while. It just varies case to case.
So is this like a regular lease when you someone non-performs, you request that they perform, and then if they don't, then you send them a demand, and then when they don't, you proceed forward to seek a judgment?
Yes.
Ultimately?
That's correct.
Well, it's a similar scenario, and we've got as the chairman points out, there are basically legal delays that are written into the law that we've got to follow for giving them certain amounts of time, giving them this warning, that warning, the next warning before we
And then don't so, they have a certain amount of time to cure the default?
If memory serves, yeah.
So all the delays that she's been talking about are statutorily required or regulatory required?
The delays that
I'm talking in. Other than the delays of after suit is filed, of course.
Right. No, the delays that are built into the demand process are just basically revert to your standard contractual demand delays that are statutory.
So basically, in this case, you know, our billing cycle is 30 days, so they get two billing cycles, two reminders, and then at the earliest we can request demand is in the third cycle, and that's what we're doing right now.
Typically, yes, that's the normal scenario. There have been times that we have executed demand before we got to this point, but typically, yes, that's the procedure, and that's the procedure we consistently follow.
Any other comments or questions?
I have a comment.
Yes, sir, Mr. Sanders.
Thank you. Is there any way to understand the statutory aspects? But we're dealing with this company on two issues, or this entity on two issues.
Yes, sir.
They are continuing to produce minerals out of the ground of this state, correct?
Yes, sir.
They're selling those minerals, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, it doesn't make me very comfortable. I understand the process. It's not directed at you, and I'm not directed at the board, the process. I understand the process, but I don't like to get caught down the road, them selling our assets, and then wind up in bankruptcy court or some other issue. Is there any way to shorten this and go straight to a lawsuit?
I don't believe so. What's required by 31:137, I believe, is that the lessee received the demand and has 30 days to cure.
Okay.
That's just in the mineral code.
And how much time would we absolutely be required to get them if they don't pony up in post-haste fashion?
Well, once the demand for the audit goes out, they have 30 days from that date,
yes,
to
sir.
Remedy it. So let's say the letter goes out tomorrow morning. They have 30 days to remedy it from that day.
May I ask a question, legal question? Is there any reason why we should not already have in place or get in place today authority to file suit if they don't respond and pay after that delay of 30 days there?
Y'all can go ahead and authorize this office to file suit if they, on the audit exceptions,
that's
let's
what
be clear,
about.
On the audit exceptions, if they don't pay by, you know, whenever the 30 days from the date of the letter being issued.
How large amount are we talking about, Ms. Rachel, again, on these exceptions?
The audit amount outstanding, this is just for the preliminary billings, is $116,827.10. So it does not include interest and penalty.
I understand. Our senators will make a motion that we grant authority to the Attorney General to file suit on the post-haste date, as soon as it can be done, within normal activities of the AG office, once that delay, that built-in delay of 30 days occurs.
Would you like to place them on demand as well?
Yes, sir, place them on demand. And if they don't pay within that demand period, we file suit.
Can I ask one clarification?
Yes, sir.
Do you still want me to file demand if they make a partial payment, or if they say, well, we'd like to present to the board a option of a payment plan? Do you want me just to go ahead and get it filed, or what would be the pleasure of the board?
Well, Mark, you have a comment, sir?
Yeah, I think we better at the Attorney General's judgment.
Just use your judgment on that.
Okay.
My idea is we're dealing with some issues here where some folks have owe the state a lot of money, and we're having to deal with litigation and things of that sort. And just in fiscal responsibility, I think we should fast-track this, because how long, Ms. Rachel, have you been dealing with this other issue with this particular group?
Since May of 2013. The royalties outstanding have been since May of 2013.
Thank you. I stand by my motion. Do I hear a second?
Is the motion by Mr. Sanders?
Yeah. Well, I want to make a comment before. I'm not sure I want to make a second to your motion, but excuse me, I am in agreement with your thought process. But what we're really doing, if we authorize the Attorney General to take this position, is we're actually cutting them out of a second demand, right? Or a second response.
I'm not sure.
Well, you said 30 days, and then you said I'm another demand, and then.
Well,
and then it goes to the Attorney General's office.
I think we sent them a demand, a notice in February, another one in March.
Those were preliminary billings, yes. We sent a first one, we sent a second billing letter, then we sent the pre-demand, and the next step is the demand, which is what we're voting on today.
Mr. Height, to be perfectly clear, what Rachel sends, the first two letters and the pre-demand, that comes from her office as basically an invoice. It's kind of, let's just call it an invoice plus. What the board is authorizing is a demand under the Mineral Code 31137, and that is your formal, you guys owe us this money, pay us or else demand.
So
that's what you're authorizing.
Okay, yes, thank you very much for that explanation. Why would we not file a lawsuit, even if a partial payment were made? Why would we not file a lawsuit, and at least you have the ability then to go forward with your lawsuit, if in fact they renege, or the offer is minimal or whatever? You could always negotiate after the lawsuit is filed.
We'll certainly do that.
You know, that my thought is that my thought is to file the lawsuit as soon as possible. These guys have been riding us now for a while, it looks like.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would just note that it's, you know, again, two separate issues, the royalty and the audit. But your request is noted, and I will follow accordingly.
I mean, I'd second your motion, Mr. Sanders, if you...
Thank you.
If the motion would require them to file suit as soon as possible.
That was my
intention. That was the first part of the
motion. That was my intention in the first part.
But not necessarily give the Attorney General the discretion, if you will. I think the suit ought to be filed.
Okay.
That's what my thought is.
Fair enough.
Ultimately, for the record, just so that we're clear, it's a request from the State Mineral Board, as the motion is. The discretion does rest with the Attorney General, whether to file suit or not. So I just want to be clear that, you know, if our boss says no, that's a whole different matter. Just want to make sure we understand each other.
So if a partial payment is made, are you telling us that if a partial payment to delay the filing of a lawsuit is made, then the Attorney General has the authority at that point in time to accept the partial payment and not file the lawsuit?
Correct. As Chief Legal Officer for the state, it's within his discretion to institute that litigation or not. I'm not saying that we will. I'm just making sure that, that y'all understand the limitations that we have. I mean, we sit here today, and I understand what you're saying. I hear the motion, and I don't disagree with the motion. But at the end of the day, you know, when we, you know, we'll prep the suit, what have you. But if we come up to that deadline and they've made partial payment, our boss may look at it and say, you know, I think that that's good faith on their part. Strategically, let's give them some time. And that is his call to make under the law.
But can I say something?
I'm sure, Mr.
I mean, is it much like an eviction, you know, you owe me rent, $500 and $500,000, whatever it is, and you make a partial payment, then you have to restart the whole process over again because I was asking you for $500, but now it's $250. See what I mean?
It's not the same scenario, but I think, and Jackson and I have
amended it, basically.
Multiple times, that it substantially undermines our ability to prevail on litigation if there's partial payment made. If there's a good faith effort, I think is really what it boils down to. So a $5 payment on a $100,000 bill is not going to get them there. But, you know, a substantial payment, it enters into the calculus as to whether it's worth filing the suit.
Yeah, I was just using numbers as an example, but I guess if you file for the demand, it would be doesn't matter what they paid, the demand is still for the entire amount.
Correct.
It doesn't affect what I'm getting at is, in certain instances, when someone pays, it affects your position. You have to re-amend your position.
Right. And
but in this one, I guess it's you owe us X amount, and so until you pay X amount, regardless if you paid $1 or 99% of it,
right,
and still owe the money.
And let me be clear. I mean, you know, the motion as it stands now, what you all have requested that we do, I think means that we don't come back to you guys. You know, you guys have given us your authority to place them on demand and to follow through the next step to file the lawsuit.
Sanders, did you have that is a motion. Ms. Sanders, of course.
That is exactly my point.
Right. We don't have the delay.
Once every 30 days, and first thing you know, it's 30 and it's 60 and it's 90. I want the Attorney General's office to have the authority, or from this board, that is my motion, to have authority, and that is an excellent negotiating tool in my judgment because it means the board is serious about getting this money.
And that's certainly something that can even go into the demand letter.
Thank you very much.
The motion has been moved and seconded. Is there any comments or questions from the public? Any further comments or questions from the committee?
One more.
Mr.
About the, did we wait a year? You said it's been 2013.
That was a separate issue.
What?
That was a separate issue.
Okay.
That was item number one. We have the royalty item, which was number one.
Okay.
That's their outstanding royalty payment.
They weren't the same.
No, they were two different instances.
Mr. Chairman, clarification. I'm not sure. Is the motion to act with regards to Pardris, or is it to act with regards to Pardris and the, quote, other current lessees?
It's the motion for Pardris and the other current lessees.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other comments or questions? Is anyone opposed to the motion? Here, no one opposed. The motion carries. Item three.
Item number three is a staff report to the committee that the election for July 2014 gas royalty is to be paid on a process basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the C. Robin Plant at Henry for the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. There being no further items on the agenda, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rachel. Legal Entitled Controversy Committee is hereby called back to order, out of recess. Ready to proceed, Ms. Tagg.
We're going to resume Legal Entitled, Mr. Heck.
Before we get to that presentation, the item we added to the agenda, which was to continue the negotiations with Pardee Minerals and Faulkner. You added this item to the agenda, but we still need to have the authority to negotiate a compromise agreement and after that an operating agreement. So we would be asking for that right now, for that authority.
That's item six?
Right. Well, that's the that'll be an additional. That was added. That's the added item, part of the added item.
Which item were we speaking about?
That's the addendum item.
The addendum.
The agenda.
Item to the addendum. It's an addendum to the legal and title agenda.
Yes, sir, I understand, but we've gone through several, and I'm not...
Okay, we added an item...
Number six, correct?
This will probably be number six, correct, but it was the original where we were... We added this item on the Faulkner item was added on as an addendum, but we did not ask what to do with that item. All we did was ask to add it to the agenda. But we are asking now to continue the negotiations for an operating agreement or compromise.
The board has heard the explanation. What's the pleasure of the board?
The last legal and title controversy agenda copy that I have, they had five items. The sixth item was the one that we added today as an addendum. We can call it item six if you so desire.
Yes, sir. And that's the one you're seeking authority to do.
Right. We'll add that in.
Reopen negotiations.
Board entirely clear on this issue? Hearing no comments, I assume we are. Do we have a motion from the board?
I make a motion to grant staff the authority to negotiate.
Second. Thank you, Ms. Pike. Is there any public comment on this motion? Any board comment or discussion concerning the motion? Is there any objection by the board to the motion? Here, none. The motion carries. Thank you very much. I'm sorry if there was some confusion, but I wanted to be certain.
I understand.
The record was accurate.
Right.
Thank you.
Mr. Heck has asked that I note the following item on the agenda, and it's a report to the board regarding the meeting with interested parties that was held on June the 25th, 2014, pertaining to the proposed new lease form. A meeting of interested parties was held on June 25th, 2014, regarding the preliminary draft of the proposed lease form. In attendance were Mr. Hike, Secretary Schutz, DNR staff, and approximately 20 participants from the oil and gas industry. All present were permitted to freely speak, and the industry representatives were encouraged to offer suggested wording for inclusion in the lease form. Mr. Hike's comments in this regard were most helpful. The slide presentation of the new lease form previously provided for the board's consideration at its last meeting on May 14th was presented. The industry representatives provided comments and objections and in some cases or instances offered generalized alternatives to the proposed changes. The consensus of those present is that the public meeting was successful and the free exchange of information beneficial to the lease form revision process. From the information provided, it is clear that revisions of the proposed draft are warranted and more clarity in the wording of the lease will be necessary. Let me remind you that our industry partners are our interested partners and the public have been afforded the opportunity to provide written comments regarding the proposed changes through July the 15th. A few comments in written form have been received, and we anticipate additional comments being provided by this deadline. At the board meeting in August, the staff plans to present a summary of these written comments along with a plan of action. At today's meeting, the staff will present a brief summation of the industry's comments offered at the June 25th public meeting. Staff will present a PowerPoint presentation summarizing comments received at this time.
Mr. Chairman, before we get started, I'd like to make a comment, and if I may, and that is this, that I'd like to congratulate the staff on the work that they did with regards to my request as I asked them to research the other states and how what other states are doing in the areas of certain clauses that this new proposed lease form addresses. I'm not quite sure whether or not everyone on the board has received that memorandum, but they should. And I certainly appreciate the work that went into that. It was quite extensive, and although I don't understand it all, but maybe by the time we get to that point, I will. But I wanted to make that comment. Thank you very much, staff.
Okay, we'll briefly go through the verbal comments that we received at the meeting. And the slides are not... Thank you, Jason. Okay, the bonus clause. The comments we received from industry about this were pertaining to, they had questions about the office's implementation procedures for this. They had questions about whether reductions in acreage would be refunded, whether this was for increases in acreage and decreases in acreage, and questions about whether accretion or erosion would result in acreage changes. And I believe the staff had satisfactorily answered all their questions regarding that. The next new clause is the rental clause, and we received no verbal comments regarding that. The next new clause is the deferred development clause, and once again, no verbal comments about that. Next, we have the deep rights clause, and we had a number of comments about that. First of all, there was an acknowledgement from the industry that the state should receive the deep rights back after a period of time. They had concerns about the wording of this provision and whether it allowed the lessee to maintain the deep rights for as long as the staff had intended. And we're going to look at rewording that to ensure that the wording is actually what we intended. They had concerns that the wording of the provision may not actually require a release of the deep rights. They had suggestions that the provision include the wording unless otherwise held by other means as provided in the lease. They had a suggestion that continuous development clause be added to ensure that they could keep the acreage if continuous development was ongoing. They had concerns about the ability to shoot seismic and evaluate the potential for the deep rights if they were released, given that the lessee of the shallow rights would have exclusive rights to shoot seismic. And I believe we satisfactorily answered that question, and we may tweak the language a little bit. And they had concerns about how stratified leases would be depicted on the department's GIS, and we have the IT department working on that. The next new clause was the bonding requirements. Once again, we had numerous comments about that. They had concerns about the cost of purchasing bonds, especially for leases with very small amounts of acreage, concerns about unnecessary expenses for unitized state leases for which there are no operations on the state acreage, suggestion that bonding for cleanup be separated from bonding for other lease obligations, questions about when and how the bonds would be released by the state, concerns about the timing of providing the bonds and the impact on brokers, questions about how bonding requirements would be handled for partial assignments of leases, questions about whether self-insurance would be accepted in lieu of a bond, and concerns about the availability of bonds for this purpose. The next new provision is the offset provision. We had a couple of comments on that. They had questions about whether the provision would apply to other state leases with lower royalties and concerns about whether the company's geophysical data would become public records. The next new provision is the royalty provision, and we received no comments on that. The next new provision was the single-payer provision, and once again, no comments. The next new provision is transfers and assignments of lease interest, and we have a few comments about that. There were concerns about the meaning of prior written approval, and we'll look at clarifying that language in the lease form. Questions about how, when, and by whom the assignee's financial capacity would be evaluated. Questions about how and when the assignee's technical competency would be evaluated, and a suggestion that assignees be qualified for one-year periods of time rather than having to qualify each time an assignment is requested. The next provision is unit flats. Once again, no comments on that provision. The next provision is lessee reporting, and we had a few comments regarding that. In this provision, from the beginning prior to the meeting, the staff had agreed to change this provision to require the information and documentation to be provided only upon request instead of for every well drilled. Industry had comments concerning having to provide the information and documentation within 30 days. They had concerns that the wording of the provision may cause the company's proprietary information to be subject to the Public Records Act. They had a concern about there not being a maximum penalty amount, and they also had a concern about the necessity for imposing a penalty. Plugging and abandoning is the next provision. We have a few comments about that. There was a suggestion that the board be allowed to grant extensions of up to 1 year period of time required for cleanup. Concerns that the 1 year limitation period for cleanup would impose an economic hardship on the industry, and a suggestion that industry be permitted to submit a plan for cleanup that would extend beyond 1 year, especially if there are multiple wells within a geographic area. The next provision is force majeure and suspending events. No comments on that one. Environmental language. There were a couple of comments on that one. There were questions about the definition of pollution possibly being ambiguous, and there were concerns about how secondary recovery operations involving CO2 injections may be impacted. The next provision is general comprehensive and liability insurance. We have a few comments about that. There were questions about the timing of the required coverage and concerns about the impact on brokers. Suggestion that the coverage not be required until the lessee accesses the property. Questions about whether self-insurance would be acceptable. A suggestion that the lessees demonstrating financial solvency be exempted. And they have plans to submit suggestive wording for this provision for us. Title disputes is the next provision. No comments on that one. Audit access rights is the last provision, and there were no comments on that one. And that that concludes the presentation. We'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much for the presentation.
Mr. Hyde?
Yes, if I could. It seems to me that there are three documents that would be helpful to us to understand and get to the point of revising the lease. And I'm going to ask this, and I'm not sure, but I'll ask the staff to maybe do this for us. This document is great, if you could get us a copy of it. But in addition to that, I'm thinking that what you have is you have that document, which it actually is has been combined into one document. That's two documents. But the third document is the research that you did for us on the other states. So maybe under each particular provision, you could tell us what the present lease says, what the change is, industry comments, and then what other states do. And that way we could have one document before us, which would help us to understand the whole process of what we've gone through as we discuss it with, you know, within ourselves next time. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does. We can do that.
Thank you.
I
I have a comment. I saw that there was some question as to what the definition of pollution was, and I can't remember, but isn't there some language that's usually put in leases concerning environmental and regular leases concerning environmental contaminations and things that cites the law developed, I believe, in the Carter administration? I want to say it's called CERC or something like that.
I don't think I'm familiar with what
it's in most real estate leases that talks about, you know, the lessee contaminating the property, and then it quotes all kind of federal language. There's a abbreviation for it called CERC or CER.
We'll certainly look into that.
That. What I'm getting at is that maybe can be used to help you formulate these definitions or whatever.
Thank you, Mr. Segura. We'll share that with the Attorney General's office. Our staff is a little bit at a disadvantage because the AG's office wrote those provisions for us, and they're not here to answer questions and help us with that. But we'll share that with them.
May I be recognized, please, just on point of information? I haven't really been involved too much with the lease aspects other than reading it and trying to understand it. I'm not a mineral attorney. How wide, and this is certainly said with due respect to the legal staff here and due respect to the Attorney General staff, how wide an area are we seeking, this board and this agency, for knowledge and recommendation? Is the Mineral Law Institute involved in this? Are there other entities in the university, LSU and others, that are involved? Or are we doing this all in-house?
The research and stuff we're doing right now is primarily in-house and then using. We haven't used the Mineral Law Institute, no. But, of course, Ryan is involved, and he's, I think, a member of that.
Well, my question is centers, my comment and question centers around the following issue. When is the last time that the mineral lease is granted by the state, that form, that document, when was the last time that was revised? Approximately.
Well, we've added to that lease form probably over the last 8 years, different parts, small parts. The entire lease form.
Long time.
Right. When they created the 81 form was the thorough revision of the form, the last thorough revision. We have added small parts to it over the years, but the thorough revision was 1981.
This is not self-aggrandizing, but I think we all recognize that this is an important issue to the state of Louisiana, a very important issue, and it will be quite some time before we come back, probably, based on history, and deal with this issue again. That's why I feel so strongly about the insurance and the bonding. In other words,
right.
Those are
correct.
Think about the constitutional issues of loss of assets by the state. Not being bad about industry, not mad at them. That's not the issue. But
it's just being a prudent operator.
Yes, sir.
I understand. But you're right. That this is the first real total revision of the lease form we've had since the 81 form.
You have a
plan? Maybe I missed this, but I'm assuming the Attorney General's office was very involved in this process.
Absolutely. Yes.
I wasn't suggesting it weren't.
I just wanted to make sure. You're right, Tom. It's kind of like a constitutional convention.
Yes, sir. You have something besides?
Yes, I do. Besides those two issues that you just mentioned, Mr. Sanders, in my mind at least, we need to be very careful about the environmental requirements of this lease. We all want to make sure that you know, the environment is protected. But on the other hand, I don't want to reach so far that we place our customers, if you will, out of the realm of being able to operate in the state. That being said, I think we need more direction, not only, you know, not casting dispersions on anybody, but I'd like to know more about the language that's in the lease, the objections of industry with regards to environmental issues, and I'd just like to learn more about that particular issue, because I think that was a concern, and I want to have a better understanding about what some of those particular federal regulations are, statutes are, and if we're reaching too far in that regard. I don't have a handle on that. I don't know if anybody else does, but I'm not going to be a tree hugger, but on the other hand, I want to make damn sure that our environment is protected. But I don't want to place our industry in a bad position. Right. I'm not convinced that the language in the lease presently addresses my concern.
Are you talking about the present lease form or the new proposed lease form?
Well, no, the new proposed lease form. Okay. Present lease form is the horse is out the barn.
Right. Well, that's what we're trying. We're trying to get a handle on that as well, and we certainly will address that as much as we can.
And I guess maybe to a certain extent, that's the comment that Mr. Arnold is talking about. Maybe we should have someone from the Mineral Law Institute address those issues as it relates primarily to the environmental issues, or someone from industry, the Coalition for Oil and Gas, or whatever they're called, come before us and give us an idea of their thoughts with regards to the environmental language.
Mr. Lyman?
Did the Mineral Law Institute have any input? I guess they did, right?
I don't know. And I don't know whether they need them.
Well, we still have the comment period open, so we don't know.
The Mineral Law Institute.
So we don't really know what kind of comments we'll get in their entirety until July 15th, which is the deadline. And, I mean, if we find that we don't have comments from some of the entities you've mentioned, we maybe at that point can solicit some comments from them.
Well, I think we ought to solicit it now, not wait. I mean,
well, and we have an open period. I mean, we're not really directing anyone to or not to, but it's an open comment period.
I know, but sometimes that falls into File 13. Maybe we should address it initially now and invite them and say, you know, there's those of us that are concerned about this issue. Come before us, if you will, and tell us what your thoughts are now.
We had a representative from the Louisiana Mid-Continental Oil and Gas Association at the meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we also have gotten word that the Louisiana Oil and Gas Association is planning on submitting written comments. So we do expect to get some comments from them, and industry has offered to provide some suggestions on wording on several of these provisions for us, and we're counting on receiving all that information within the next few days.
The chair has to come in. My entire career of 50 years as a lawyer has been dealing with insurance contracts. And you know, people that write insurance contracts, they write them for their benefit as a general rule, and not so much for the consumer, which we would be in the that's my concern here, that we need. And I'm not saying that it hasn't been done. I'm not criticizing anyone. It's just an observation that we need to be as tough as we can. And I just heard the comment about industry. Well, industry is industry, and I respect industry, and I know them to be generally honorable. But we also know that we have a lot of wells in this state that never been plugged. We've got an environmental issue there. I'm not a tree hugger. I'm not trying to hurt anybody or be insulting. But I want to be sure that my children and grandchildren and great-grandchild have a cleaner environment here and a more responsible industry. And just like the
the deep rights. Thought occurred to me about the Tuscaloosa that's in the process here. And all of that is way deep from what I've been told. And that's, and y'all know that geologically much better than I. And the precious aspect of our gift of water in this state and how we protect that for future generations. Look at the state of Texas. They try to buy our half of Toledo Bend to send the water to Dallas and Fort Worth. Well, we have to be proactive as a society, and this board has some responsibility of being in the staff as responsible as possible, as best we can foresee for the future generations of this very valuable asset. And we're finding every day that there's more and more minerals being produced and discovered, and methodology of producing and discovering. So those are just my comments and why I'm concerned about some of these issues.
And that's certainly why we're trying to be as careful as we can and as thorough as we can with the new lease form.
Thank you.
To make it beneficial to the state, but for the parties to operate in the state as well.
Mr. Lambert,
yeah, Chairman, do we have to vote on this today?
No, there's
no vote. No, there's no vote.
Was that the plan? I mean,
no, sir. It's an information matter.
Okay.
Is there any other comment by the board, or question, or discussion?
I would like to suggest for consideration that our staff contact the head of the Louisiana Mineral Law Institute at LSU. And just at least see if they have any comments, because they really, you know, they're appointed from different sectors, including the legislature, and these are basically people that are very involved in mineral issues, you know. And it'd probably be good if we at least ran it by them.
Thank you for your comment. What I know about, I learned at sitting in the front of Maul Daggett all those years ago, and it's about 50 years now, so I don't know much, but we're doing something that's important here. It's an important exercise. I'm not self-aggrandizing for myself or this board. I'm just talking about, I recognize and appreciate, as we all do, the importance of this. Thank you.
I think that was the last item we had on the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, one last comment on this, please. Look, my suggestion didn't mean in any way to take any away what you all have done. I think you've done an excellent job. I just think we have a resource out there that we probably should touch base with. That's all.
We're open to all the comments we can get from the interested parties, such as, and the Law Institute as well. So we will do that.
Thank you. Any further business for the legal entitled?
No further business, that's it.
May I have a motion to adjourn? Thank you. Any objection? Public comment? Committee's adjourned. Thank you very much for your presentation. Thank you for listening to us also.
Good morning, Lease Review Committee. We have our roll call. Mr. Segura, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Briette, Mr. Schutz, Mrs. Hodges, Mr. Cordero, Mr. Lambert, Mr. Martin, Mr. Sanders, Mr. Klein, and Mr. Height. Thank you. We have a quorum. I hereby convene the Lease Review Committee meeting. I designate Mr. Talbert and Mr. Bradbury to present the agenda. Thank you.
Chairman Smith, members of the board, we're going to be brief this morning with our agenda. I am here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. 1,801 active leases covering nearly 751,000 acres. The G&E staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 119 lease is covering 36,000 acres, and of the 119, there's one lease to reference today. That lease being State Lease 1217, Beta Cheyenne Field, Swift Energy operating as our lessee. The committee last reviewed this lease on June 11, 2014. The board adopted the committee's recommendation to defer this lease to the next meeting. On June 30, 2014, the staff received a letter from Swift Energy requesting a 30-day extension to complete their plan of development on the lease. Staff is recommending granting Swift the extension of time. If there are no questions, Mr. Bradbury will be given a force majeure report.
Chairman Smith, members of the board, good morning. I have one item to bring to your attention this month. This was a request by Hillcorp Energy Company for recognition of a force majeure that occurred as a result of Hurricane Isaac in 2012. Affecting State Lease 17193 and 17381. The well associated with this event was shut in August 27, 2012 and remained shut in for a period of 97 days. As required by the lease or under the policy, it shall be incumbent, I'm going to read you from the policy directly, it shall be incumbent upon on the lessee, I'll get my mouth working here in a second, excuse me, the operator to notify the State Mineral Board through the Office of Mineral Resources by the telephone number, which is mine actually, within a reasonable period of time of the occurrence after the fortuitous event itself, but certainly not more than 90 days therefrom. Of course, it was 2012, the event occurred, and we're 2 years later. What happened was, for them, as they explained to us, they had a computer system which was an automated reviewing their leases, and it would spit out, hey, this lease is going to be in jeopardy or something along that lines. Well, it was tied into their production run system, and the one little thing that could mess the whole thing up, after the storm, the LAC unit kicked in, ran about 5 barrels of oil, allocated it to every well in the field. Subsequently, it allocated it to this well, which said, okay, it's not going to, you know, this well is held up. After pointing it out to them that there was a gap of greater than 90 days, they came back and reviewed and determined that, yes, the computer had done that, had allocated it wrong, and that they recognized that there was a 97-day gap. However, there was a force majeure event at that moment. Anyways, the other thing is that along with the policy, even though they're supposed to notify us within 90 days, the right is reserved by the board that if there are extenuating circumstances, then the board can recognize that force majeure. And today we're asking you to recognize this as an extenuating circumstance. I talked to Hillcorp. They've corrected. They added one more step in the process. So instead of allowing the computers to do all their thinking, they put a human back in the process such that every well that goes off has humans say it's back on now. So that should help abate this from happening in the future. However, we're asking for, Hillcorp is asking for an exception or recognition in this case. I recommend it.
Are there any questions or comments from the board? Are there any public comment at this time? I have a motion for Mr. Lambert, a second for Mr. Sanders to accept and approve this particular motion or all the reports and reviews and recommendations by the staff? Pardon? Okay. Will we do? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
All right.
Any opposed? The motion carries. I need a motion and a second to adjourn the meeting. I have a motion from Mr. Lambert, second from Mr. Sanders. The Lease Review Committee is now adjourned. Thank you.
At this time, I'm... Oh, he's here.
I'd like to call to order the Nomination and Tract Evaluation Committee. At this time, we'll have a roll call. Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Briette?
Here.
Ms. Hodges? Mr. Lambert?
Here.
Mr. Morton?
Here.
Mr. Sanders? Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Klein? And Mr. Hike?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum. I appoint Emil Fontenot as my designee to present the agenda items. Good morning, Emil.
Good morning, Mr. Cordero, ladies and gentlemen. A previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 39 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parish where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the July 10, 2013 mineral lease sale, this office received 82 nominations for processing and advertising. There is no action needed on this item. A letter of protest from Martin O. Miller II, dated June 16, 2014, pertaining to Tract 44008, situated in Vermilion Parish, Louisiana. Staff has reviewed the tract in question after determining that there are claimable water bottoms. Staff has recommended and is recommending that they remain up for today's lease sale. And again, there's no action needed on your part. And there was a final two letters of protest from Salt Domes Partnership, both dated June 27, 2014, pertaining to tracts 43991 and 43992, situated in St. Martin Parish, Louisiana. Again, the staff reviewed these tracts in question, and after determining that they are claimable water bottoms, they were recommended to be left up for today's lease sale. No action needed. 29 nominations received by the Office of Mineral Resources for the September 20, 2014 lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. For the September 11, 2013 mineral lease sale, this office received 51 nominations for advertising. The staff is asked to be given authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received in this office for the September 11, 2014 lease sale.
Okay, I need a motion and second to accept staff's recommendation. Motion by Mr. Lambert, second by Mr. Smith. Any public comment on this item? Any comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes.
Energy 21 has requested authority to nominate approximately 4,892.821 acres belonging to the state for an exclusive geophysical agreement type 3, referred to as the Franklin Gap 3D Project in St. Mary Parish, Louisiana. The staff has negotiated minimum terms with Energy 21 and recommend the board approve advertising this acreage for this EGA with the following minimum terms, that being $42 per acre for the initial 18-month geophysical term with an option to extend for additional six-month period. The six-month option period, if exercised by payment of one-half of the full fee, $600 per acre bonus and $300 per acre rental with a 25% royalty on any and all acreage selected. A full fee is payable as liquidated damages for failure to conduct the EGA within the designated term of 18 months or 24 months. And finally, as an additional consideration, which is very important to staff here, Energy 21 will furnish a copy of 3D data acquired.
Okay, I need a motion and second, please.
Motion by
Mr. Hike, second by Mr. Smith. Any public comment on this item? Any comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes.
Okay, and the final item, it has to do with a non-exclusive. It's a readoption of non-exclusive seismic permit fees. As most of you are aware, revised statute 3215 requires that the State Mineral and Energy Board determine the seismic fees at least every 12 months, which occurred on July 10, 2013. The staff recommends that the board readopt and set a fee of $15 per acre or $1,000, whichever is greater, for non-exclusive seismic permits on lands under the jurisdiction of the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission, a fee of $10 per acre or $1,000, whichever is greater, for non-exclusive seismic permits on all other state lands and water bottoms belonging to the state, a fee of $200 per line mile or $1,000, whichever is greater, for 2D seismic permits on either state-owned lands and water bottoms or lands and water bottoms under the jurisdiction of wildlife and fisheries.
Okay, thank you. I need a motion and second to accept staff's recommendation. Motion by Mr. Bruyette, second by Mr. Arnold. Any public comment? Comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes. Motion second to adjourn the committee.
Motion by Mr.
Smith, second by Mr. Lambert. Committee's closed. Thank you, Mr. Fontenot.
Thanks, sir.
Hey, at this time, it's 11 o'clock, so we'll open the board meeting, a regular board meeting, and then recess it and finish the docket review. Could I get a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Bruyette?
Here.
Ms. Hodges? Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert? Mr. Morton? Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Klein? Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 10 members present and a quorum.
Great. At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to recess the regular board meeting so we can go back into our committee meetings and finish the docket review committee.
Sanders, move.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We're in recess.
I call the docket committee to order and ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold? Mr. Bruyette? Ms. Hodges? Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert?
Here.
Mr. Morton? Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Klein? Mr. Hike?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 10 members present and a quorum.
Thank you. A quorum, Mr. President, and I'll call Mr. Dennis if he would please present the docket recommendation.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
The staff of the Petroleum Land Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the July 9, 2014 docket and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve item number one. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number one through item number 30. Item 31, defer at the request of staff. Please approve items number 32 through items number 38. For items 39 and 40, approve subject to the approval of the governor. Please approve items number 41 through items number 45. For Category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries State Agency lease transfers, there were no items submitted for this category. And for Category D, advertised proposals, please approve items 1 through items number 3, and this will complete the staff's recommendations to the docket review committee.
Okay. Any public comment on the staff's recommendation? Any comment from the board?
I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Second. There's a motion and a second to adopt the staff recommendation. Are there any objections? No objections. So ordered. Need a motion to adjourn the committee. Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Cordero. Is any objection? No objection. Committee stands adjourned.
Thank you.
All right. I'd like to entertain a motion to go back in the regular session of the regular meeting.
So moved.
Second. Sanders.
Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Item 2 is the approval of the June 11th, 2014 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes? Moved by Mr. Arnold, second by Sanders. Mr. Sanders. Any public comment or questions? If not, all in favor? All opposed, motion carries. Item 3 is the adoption of the committee recommendations: A, Lease Review Committee; B, Nomination and Track Committee; C, Audit Committee; D, Legal and Title Controversy Committee; and E, Docket Review Committee. Do you have any questions or discussions on any of those committee actions? Anyone want to entertain a motion?
I make a motion to approve.
Mr. Arnold makes a motion to approve those committee recommendations, seconded by Mr. Bruyette. Any public comment? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Item 4 is our executive session for technical briefing. Are we ready? I'd like to entertain a motion to go into executive session for in
Move,
recess for our executive session. Moved by Mr. Sanders, seconded by Mr. Bruyette. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We're in recess. We'll be back in.
I'm sorry, it fell on the floor.
At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to reconvene the board meeting. Moved by Mr. Lambert, seconded by Mr. Smith. Any public comment or questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. We're back in regular session. Item 5 is awarding the leases. Designate Mr. Victor Vaughn to present the bids to us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make it short and sweet. Staff recommends that all of the bids on the tracks be accepted.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Any public comment? If not, I'll entertain a motion by the board to accept those bids.
Move, Sanders.
Moved by Mr. Sanders, seconded by Mr. Bruyette. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Those bids are accepted. Any other business?
No, sir.
Okay, great. Thank you. Are there any announcements?
Yes, sir. The total for today's lease sale is $1,512,670.89. And since this is the first month of the fiscal year, it's also the fiscal year to date total. And one additional announcement, the department's annual oil and gas seminar is next month, August 27th and 28th at the Baton Rouge Shelton.
Great. We hope that you all attend. And if there's no other business, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Mr. Bruyette, seconded by Mr. Hike. Any public comment? If not, all in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you for coming.
Yeah,